Last week I took only three verses. This week is no different. We're looking just at verses 15 to 17 there, the last verses I read. And as we begin, I want us to try and imagine a double-minded person. What would that look like? A double-minded Christian. What would a double-minded Christian look like? They want to live the Christian life, but they also don't want their lives to change. They want the love and joy and peace and hope of knowing Christ, that which comes through faith in Jesus, but they also want everything that the world has to offer. And it's not really clear what they want most. Try to imagine what that would look like. In these verses, John wants us to understand the relationship between true believers and the world that they live in. And as usual, John does not mince his words. Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. Now, the first thing to get clear is what's wrong with the world? We're not to love the world, and yet surely God does, doesn't he? Most famous verse in the Bible, probably, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. So there it is. God loves the world. And yet John says, do not love the world. What's going on here? The answer is simple enough. The word world is used in different ways in the Bible. When Jesus said, for God so loved the world, in John 3:16, he was saying that the world he created, and especially the people he created, matter to him. The entire human race made to know God and rule the earth matters to him. That's why he sent his one and only Son to rescue mankind. God loves the world. But that's not how John is using the word world in these verses. He's not talking about land and sea and earth and sky and creatures great and small. For all of that, we know that we're called to be good stewards, aren't we? The Bible is very clear that we're to love and we're to care for the earth and everything in it, and not least each other. But like I said, John isn't talking about that here. When John talks about the world here, he's talking about the way of the world. The way of autonomy. Wanting to rule ourselves rather than be ruled by God. Wanting to make ourselves great, put ourselves at the center. That's the way of the world. Imagining that we don't need God, we don't need his word, and that all we need are things in the world. We see this in verse 16. John here is describing what he means by the world. He says, everything in the world, that is the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, that comes not from the Father, but from the world. That's the way of the world. It's the idea that we can find our life and joy and peace and meaning and purpose quite apart from God. It's a world, really, of hostility towards God. And it's a bit like in chapter 1, how John talks about darkness. He says God is light, but people walk in darkness. They don't want to know him. And how should we relate to this dark world in which we live? Verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. Just note who this warning is for. Okay, you might think it would be a warning especially relevant for those who had left the church. Remember chapter 2, verse 19, some had gone out from the church, they had left, walked away from the fellowship of believers. Oh yeah, those people are bound to need this warning from John, right? They say they know God, but they're walking in darkness, John says. Oh yeah, they're going to need this warning, surely. If only they could hear it. Do not love the world. That's right. You heard him. Do not love the world. But they don't hear him. Those people have gone. John is addressing those people. John is addressing the people who are still there. The believers. And therefore it's a word for me. And it's a word for every believer. Do not love the world. It's striking, isn't it? Because, you know, you think about what he has only just told them. As we thought about last week, verse 12, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of Jesus, verse 12. That's so good. You know, what a God, what a Savior. Do not love the world, John says. It's a warning that forgiven people need to hear. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father, says John in verse 13. He has confidence about that. I mean, these are genuine believers. They know God as their Father. They trust Him. They love Him. They walk with Him. Do not love the world, John says. It's a warning that people who know the Father need to hear. Even older people in the faith, fathers, as he puts it at the start of verse 13, repeating again at the start of verse 14, they may well be Christians a long time. They may well be mature in their faith. They may be elders in the church. But the warning is the same. It doesn't matter how long they've been walking the walk. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Reaching a certain age or maturity in the faith doesn't put anyone beyond the reach of temptation, does it? Not at all, not even maybe. And you don't need me to tell you that many Christian leaders, renowned and loved for having helped so many people to understand the gospel and the Bible and to be strong in their faith, have then shipwrecked their own reputation because they did not take heed of the warning here in verse 15. So fathers, older people in the faith, I'm writing to you, John says, because you know him who is from the beginning, verse 13. I write to you because you know him who is from the beginning, verse 14. You know Jesus. You've been his disciples a long time. But how you need this warning. As do younger Christians. On the one hand, their lives really have been changed. They really have been set free from slavery to sin. That's what John says in verse 13. I'm writing to you because you've overcome the evil one. Again, in verse 14, I write to you, young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. That's victory talk, right? They're on the right path. They know the power of God's word at work in their lives. What could possibly go wrong? Do not love the world or anything in the world, John says. I need to hear this, and so do all of us. He gives two reasons. First of all, we have to see that love of the world is the very opposite of love of the Father. So that's the first reason he gives. You can't have it both ways. John said that already in chapter 1. He said in verse 6 of chapter 1 that if we claim to have fellowship with God, who is light, yet walk in darkness, we lie. It doesn't add up. It's one or the other. Have you ever tried walking in two different directions? Obviously, it's impossible. You can't do it. You cannot divide yourself. To go this way is not to go that way. To go that way is not to go this way. So where will our love take us? Is it love of the world or love of the Father? In the Champions League final on the 26th of May, no footballer is going to be playing for both Liverpool and Real Madrid. Obviously. And the Bible has loads of these either or. As you think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, Jesus said. Or you think of what James says in his letter in James chapter 4 verse 4. He says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God, says James. It's really stark, isn't it? He doesn't say that friendship with the world raises particular challenges when it comes to loving God, but it can be done. No. He says that friendship with the world is, in itself, hatred towards God. So here in verse 16, John says, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, are these things of God? Of course not. These things do not come from the Father. They are set against the Father. And therefore, if you love those things, it is a sham to say that you love God. They don't go together. Or to put it another way, if you love God, then you can't at the same time have your heart set on what is not of God. If our lives are ruled by the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes, and that includes, those two phrases include the lust of stuff that is both good and bad. You know, you can love and lust after delightful things that are wonderful to have, But you can lust after those things and make them the dominant thing that life is all about for you. And you can also lust after things in the gutter that are depraved. And I think both of those are included in when it says the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes includes both good and bad stuff that we pursue above God. And if our lives are ruled by those things, and if our lives are ruled by the boasting of what we have and do, the boasting of those who have lusted after something and have now got it and are proud about that, look at what I've got. Well, then obviously our lives are not ruled by the love of God. You can't be ruled by both at the same time, and let's never deceive ourselves into thinking that we can. And there's another reason for why we should not love the world. The second reason John gives is as to why we should not love the world is in verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Nobody buys stock in a company that's going bankrupt, do they? The world is passing away. Why would we set our hearts on what is here today and gone tomorrow? I don't know if you made it to the beach yesterday. I drove past loads of people on the beach. There were loads, presumably loads of sandcastles being made. And if you go back today, what will you find? Great to build a sandcastle, but you wouldn't invest your life in it, would you? Because the tide inevitably comes in. You go back the next day and it's gone. And we saw this a couple of years ago in our studies of Ecclesiastes, that Old Testament book, Ecclesiastes. There's a phrase in that book that describes all the stuff that people live for in the place of God, education, and pleasures, and riches. The teacher says, it's all like chasing after the wind. And imagine if you were to quite literally chase after the wind. It's ridiculous. You can't catch it and bottle it and keep it. Always eludes you. So it is with everything that is of the world. Why love what will always get away from you in the end? There's no permanence to anything in the world. It's passing away, John says, and yet God has set eternity in the hearts of men. So what do you love? Everybody loves something. What do you love? What is your driving, compelling love over every other love? What is the dominant love in your life? George Granados, a French author and soldier in World War I, he said this, he said, in order to be prepared to hope in what does not deceive, we must first lose hope in everything that deceives. In order to be prepared to hope in what does not deceive, we must first lose hope in everything that deceives. And note that John says even the desires of this of the world pass away in verse 17. In other words, if we live for the cravings of sinful man and those things we crave pass away, then we too will go with them. We lose not only our treasure, but also our lives. But he who does the will of God lives forever. Remember, John is writing to assure his readers that they have eternal life. Chapter 5, verse 13. If you truly believe in Jesus, then you have eternal life, and that life will be seen in your love for God, and that love will be seen in your obedience to the will of God. So do not love the world. Now, it could be that you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm not sure that I do love the Father. I think I maybe love the world. And if you're saying that, it could be for two reasons. It could be, number one, that what John says in verse 15, that quite simply the love of the Father is not in you. Stark words. In other words, perhaps there's been no inward change in your life, and maybe your Christianity is just a cultural Christianity, and you've adopted a certain Christian identity, and you come to church maybe, and maybe you were brought up to do that, but maybe you've never experienced the work of the Holy Spirit so that you now love God and turn away from the things of the world. If you've never known that, then you need to pray, Father, take my heart and change it. Take these cravings, the lust of my eyes and the boasting of what I have and do, take them and replace them with love for you. Forgive all my sin because of Christ who died for me and change my life, change my loves for your glory. There's another reason, though, you might be feeling convicted about love for the world. And maybe it's that you simply feel the fight of the Christian life. You know what Paul said to the Romans in Romans 7? He said, I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate I do. And the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. And that was the Apostle Paul saying that. You ever feel like that? The reassurance in those words from Paul is that despite his ongoing sin, he hates it. And he very much wants to be holy as God is holy. Do you hate your sin? You know, it feels, for a true believer, when they do things that they know are wrong, it feels like you're stabbing yourself in the back. You know, and you hate it. And you come to your senses and you're like, what am I doing? And you want to be holy as God is holy because you love him. And you say, Lord, I love you, not the way I should yet, but I do love you and I want to love you more. Pastor and author John Piper tells a story about a man called Henry Martin. Henry Martin was a missionary to India in the early 1800s, and he died at the age of 31. And 4 years after becoming a Christian at university, Martin said this about his own conversion. He said, the work is real. I can no more doubt it than I can doubt my own existence. The whole current of my desires is altered. I am now walking in quite another way, though I am incessantly stumbling in that way. And I love that because true believers stumble. And we stumble, and we incessantly stumble. And we find that the whole Christian life is one of repentance, because we don't yet love God the way we one day will. But we do love him. And we want to love him more. And we can say with Henry Martin, the work is real. The whole current of my desires is altered. We just need to keep on keeping ourselves in check. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Because, number one, you can't walk in two opposite ways. And number two, the world and its desires pass away. So do not love the world. May God grant that our hearts are so captivated by love for Christ in light of all that he has done for us at the cross, that every sinful desire is pushed out. Again and again and again. To him be the glory. Amen.